Welcome and greetings. My name is Uncle Bill Nicholson. I stand here proud as a descendant of a long line of warriors, of men and women who cared for this land, knew the law of the land, and knew their responsibility. That is something, as an educator today, that I'm still trying to get across to people that live on our country, that we all have responsibility to it. I would also like to just say to everyone again and just reiterate what the organisers were trying to tell everyone before. It's very important that we respect the COVID rules and the laws that have been put down to keep us all healthy and safe. Remember, one strong aspect of Aboriginal culture is respect, and respect earned. So if you want to feel right in participating in such an important day as today, respect what the organisers are telling us to keep us all healthy and safe. I would like to acknowledge my elders past. I would not be here without them or my family. In 1863, only 18 Wurundjeri people walked this sacred land with our neighbours the Tunurong. They only had 22. If it wasn't for these very special men and women, we wouldn't be here today. The British tried everything to eradicate us after their invasion. It almost worked, but it didn't. We are still here and we'll continue to be on this sacred land and teaching people their responsibilities to it. I looked up the English dictionary the other day, the word invasion, an unwelcome intrusion into another's domain. If you didn't know, who wrote the rules for this invasion? A place called the Vatican. The papal bulls they wrote the guidelines for the British to come here and take our land and our people's lives. Something that they must understand themselves and acknowledge. As the churches of this land live on our land for free, took our land and benefit from it. They have to acknowledge that, because that was the thoughts of evolutionary theory, where they conveniently put Aboriginal people on the bottom of the human race. We would not have survived and lived and thrived on this land for tens of thousands of years if we were not a structured, civilised people under our law. Now, Captain Cook, the old Cook fellow who the Hawaiians ended up grabbing eventually, but this is something he said. I wonder if Scotty Morrison up in Canberra actually knows this one. In what other light can they then at first look upon us but as invaders of their country? He also went on to say how the English would debauch our morality, debauch our country, for the peaceful tranquility that the people and their ancestors had enjoyed for thousands of years. Cook saw it from the day he got here. This country is still blinded to that. And a lot of the social issues we have today is from that disrespect and, I believe, deliberate ignorance to the history of this land. If it comes from the Prime Minister, you can imagine how it filters down through the rest of society. Another comment. These law fellas behind us, the imposed law, the imposed government up through the back here in Parliament House. One of their own in 1841 said, his name was Justice Willis, the colonists were uninvited intruders, Aboriginals, the native sovereign of the soil. That word sovereign and acknowledgement of our sovereignty was seen only 6 years after a fellow named Batman stood foot here, and not too far long after the initial invasion up in Gadigal country. They knew it back then, and I really believe they know it today. In 1872, the Pacifica Island Act, the Queen actually mentioned but they do not claim dominion or sovereignty over the Indigenous lands. To my knowledge, that has never been challenged. So it's all imposed illegal, both in their laws and ours, is their authority over Aboriginal people and this land. They have had 200 years to care for us. I don't think they do. Look at all the social problems that we still suffer today. You know, we're not born bad. We're not born to break the rules and the laws. We're not born to have all those issues. It must be something else. It's these imposed structures that they refuse to bend or break to give us equal opportunity. They brought an economy here. They took ours, the environment. They did not allow us to be part of it, and that is why we still suffer today. So to the mob out there, keep fighting for self-determination. Just a couple of little bits of brief history of the local area. The Mindai plague, the smallpox, nearly took us all out. That was before Batman got here. Winbury, the Tunawong warrior, Jagga Jagga, the Wurundjeri lawman, continued to fight for their sovereign rights based on their law of the land. People like Derrimut and Billabillary, who actually, through very wise decisions, kept our people alive at the most difficult time in 1835. Billabillary's son, Simon Wonga, our first land rights advocate, who set up Corranderk, and I know a lot of you mob have connections to that very special place. Does have mixed feelings though, but it was a place that kept our families alive. William Barak, the most famous Wurundjeri elder of the past, his face is on a big building up the end of Swanson Street, our first human rights advocate. He walked to this place over a dozen times from Healesville, which is about 70 k's away, not because he wanted to walk, but we could not earn wages, we had no rights. But he came here with the men of Corranderk to fight for our basic rights. In some ways, we still feel like we're fighting for similar things over 130 years later. Come on, Australia, wake up. Can you listen to us? Listen's in language, not hear. Hear, just hear stuff. We want you to listen to our voice. And that is why I believe we are here today with so much support, wanting our voice to be heard and listened to and respected. The post-mission era here in Victoria, anyway, and New South, up in Gadigal country, Uncle Jack Patton, Uncle William Ferguson, and Victorian leader Uncle William Cooper and others. Now, from 1938, Day of Mourning, could not celebrate this. You know, if you're one of those people that Australia likes you to be, ignorant, which I don't think anyone here is, or you wouldn't be here, you wouldn't know that we've only just been protesting this for the last couple of years. Well, it's been over 80 years. It's one of the first social, I think it's the first social protest in the world, was a Day of Mourning in 1938. Again, can this country listen to us and hear what we're trying to say? We are not a dividing force of this land. We're trying to unite. Jindy Warrabak is unity, bringing people together. Celebrating this day on January 26, so-called Australia unity, it's a division from my perspective. If we can celebrate all together, that is unity, but we just cannot do it. We cannot do it on this day. Many and many Aboriginal people feel like that. I would like to thank everyone for their support. My job at Wurundjeri is to educate this city. There's not many of us. For the ones that do Aboriginal education, all strength to you, all ancestral spirit to you. It's not easy. We're up against a wall of ignorance, but we're here as our spokesperson of our elders past and all of our ancestors past. The culture that we are connected to was one of the most amazing you could come across. The caring of country, everyone had a place, everyone had a role. Leadership was earned, not dictated by. That is something I would like the Aboriginal community to consider. Can we go back in some form or another of cultural structure? Because this fellow building back here and the people in it always want us to go under their structure. And it divides us and brings us apart. I talked to some of our older fellas when the community felt stronger and unified. I was too young to feel that. I want to feel it one day. So there's a challenge for the community. Let's try and unify under our culture way. We didn't just survive here, we thrived here under that law and under that way. So there's a challenge for our community. Now, I was asked to do Welcome to Country. I just don't feel right welcoming people to country. I think country and the people of country are feeling pain today, feeling sorrow today. You know, some of our special animals like Dulai Warang, Proud Lips, the platypus, Guburu, the koala, their signs, they are disappearing. What are we going to do about it? Now, there's already been animals that have disappeared off land and plant. You know, that's not part of law. It's against Wurundjeri and Aboriginal law. So I would like to say to you all, I would like to welcome you to this healing ceremony. We all need to heal. We all need to unite. The smoke that you see around us is about cleansing of Murup, your spirit. We're a very spiritual mob, both physically and spiritually responsible to this land and to one another. So I'd like to thank you all for coming to help heal with us. And to the non-Indigenous people out there, bring your friends, bring your family, listen to our story. It will help you connect to this sacred land and all the different nations that have thrived on this land for thousands of years and are still strong today. So thanks everybody. I've got my brother boy up here, Stan Dryden. He just wants to have a word to you while he's got a chance about law.
Thank you, brother. I want to acknowledge the beautiful elders, past and present, and also want to acknowledge all the people that are here today. I've noticed a lot of young people here today. My daughter's here, and with all her friends, and they're the future leaders of this land. Thank you. I've been to this march many, many times for many years, and as far as I can see down that street, down there and back that way, it's just full of people, full of a lot of good spirit. So I'd like to say to all you people that are here today, please, let's just have one minute silence for our elders, past and present, for the people that walked on this land and have suffered and that were killed. And can we just have one minute silence, please? Thank you. For thousands of years on this land, we've had law, Aboriginal law. Over 200 years ago, white law approached this land where Aboriginal people were strong with loyalty, honour, respect. And when they come with their law, with their guns and their religions, they stopped us from... They stopped us from speaking our language and from doing our law. I'm speaking on behalf of John Charles in the late 1800s. On his death certificate, they said he accidentally shot himself. And I'm standing here today as a man to, on his behalf, to say something to the people that are here today. We must have unity. This law has been created, divide and conquer. And it's all about fear. And fear stands for face everything can recover, or everything can run. I'm not running anymore, either of you guys. We're here together. It's when we walk on this land and we teach our children, not in schools, but from where we're, what we're learning, say what our brother boys just spoke about today. We've got some beautiful dancers that are going to come up and share their culture and their story through their dance. We're here to respect the people of the land. And with the law, the white law that's here today, if you're in a church or at a funeral or something like that, you would take your hat off in respect. I would like to put it to the police that are here today to take your hat off and respect the land that you're standing on right now. Can you take your hats off, please? So that's your white law. Aboriginal law always was and always will be. Have a great day. Love yous all. Thank you.
Big thanks to Uncle Bill, and I always learn something more when he's around, and you know, it's just beautiful. We do need to heal, and where that starts is with all of us and how we work together in moving forward. I'm going to be a pain in the ass and say to you, are you implementing the COVID plan? And every time I get up here, I'm going to reiterate it, because we can get shut down in a minute. We can pass COVID on to an auntie or an uncle, and it just goes through our community. I don't want that. I want everybody to be safe, and I want everybody to look after each other. So make sure you're doing what's required. Make sure you've got your mask, your hand sanitizers are around as well. There are medics to the right of the stage who'll be wearing green armbands. So if anyone needs a medic, that's where they'll be. The marshals all have the red bands if you need to find a marshal, and please listen to the marshals, they're here to keep you safe. There's also a petition, and let me just get that. So this April is 30 years since the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody, but there have been over 441 black deaths in custody since then, and no one's held criminally responsible. Racism is killing our people in custody, our elders, mothers, fathers, siblings and children. 15 of their families fighting for justice have come together, and today we call on everyone here to support them by signing their petition. Mrs. Du, Aunty Sherry Fisher, Tilbaru, David Dungay Jr., Aunty Tanya Day, Wayne Fella Morrison, Joyce Clark, Shen Darwin, and her father, Warren Cooper, Chris Drake, Tris Jack Simpson, Garth Jackson Rowe, Raymond Noel Thomas, Stanley Inman, Tane Chatfield, and Nathan Reynolds. The families want the Prime Minister to meet them for the 30th year anniversary. They say, this change needs to be led by us. We are coming to Canberra and we want our voices heard. So join our call to be part of history. So today at the rally, you're going to see people holding this sign. Scan the QR code to sign the petition. Get out your phone right now, open your web browser and put in natsals.org.au/BLM. This is one thing you can do today to fight for the voices to be heard and to get systemic change. Black Lives Matter. It isn't over until there is justice for every single family, until there's an end to black deaths in custody. So make sure you see this sign and you sign that petition. Thank you. Thank you. We're now just going to call Mandy Nicholson up to the stage, another cousin of mine, and the Jiri Jiri dancers are going to perform their welcome dance to welcome you to this country. Sure.
Yan, Wangat, Naranik Mandi, Warangeri Willamik, Warangeri Balakut, Undanai Murukkalar, Birirang, Undanai Kiripik, Balalalba Gugung Nugulik, Bab Binanang Stacey. We got drowned this morning in that beautiful cleansing rain, and Stacey's going to talk about that, about the dawn service that we attended early this morning. It was beautiful. But what I'm up here to do, so we're going to do a Wamajigan Yarga, a welcome dance. So you might not be able to see the girls, but they're going to dance in the front here. But what I want everyone to do right now, I'm going to get you all involved. I'm going to get you to speak in some language, in Woiwurrung language. I want all the women in the audience to put your fist up, and I want your biggest, loudest voice, and say, Gunbu. And I want to hear you right in the back, as loud as you can. Gunbu.
One more time. I want all you men to put your other fist up and say, Ngulu. Ngulu. The women were louder. Come on, boys. Ngulu. That was what I wanted to hear. Now, what I want you all to do is put both your fists up, and the women and men together say, Gambu Ngulu. And I want you to say that five times louder every time. Gambu Ngulu. Gambu Ngulu. Gambu Ngulu. Gambu Ngulu. One more time, as loud as you can do. What you just said was one voice. We are one voice all together. So we're going to do our Wamanjikan Yarga, honour this country that we're on, honour our ancestors, honour strong women. We're a women's group, but we also honour the men as well. This is our Wamanjikan Yarga, our welcome dance. Warangere, Warangere al Naramo. Warangere, Warangere al Naramo. Warangere, Warangere al Naramo. Warangere, Warangere al
at 5 a.m. at King's Domain, we held a dawn service. It was the third dawn service that we've held, the first one in 2019. We streamed online for the first time, so we had people tuning in from around the world. We had people from India, from Germany, we had people actually just from countries around the planet and Australia, and it's really profound to think about that. It's like our voices are getting out there. We recited some massacres, some brutal murders. There were 56 of them, and these ones are all referenced thoroughly. But they're only tipping the ice. They're only the tip of the iceberg. There are so many more. I hope that you can check it out on the VicNadoc Facebook page. It was a very moving and respectful way to start this day of mourning. Our old people and ancestors have been calling for this day of mourning for over 83 years, so way before so-called Australia Day. Yeah, I think that's all I want to say at the moment about it. If you could check it out, that would be great. Each massacre that was read out is directly linked to every single Aboriginal person that you know that comes from Victoria. So just think about that. Every single Aboriginal person you see here has survived these brutal murders. So that's... we're survivors. So on that note, we sang a chant this morning to send these ancestral spirits off to the Thurrungulp, which is Bundjil's home above the clouds. So we want to share that with you today. And for audience participation, we just ask that you tap your heart along to the beat, the clapsticks, and we'll sing the chant. Ngodjin. You sing it, actually. I'll just...
So the words to this chant are, farewell, dear spirit. You watch us from Thurrungulp, from heaven, from above the clouds. We'll see you tomorrow when our souls reunite. This is a mourning song. That's why we've got the white ochre on our foreheads. Twaganin!
Big thanks to the Jiri Jiri, always welcoming us to country. So the next speaker is not new to anybody. It's the black senator bringing the black truth, Lydia Thorpe.
Well, first I'll pay my respects to the Wurundjeri people and thank them for sharing their country with us. I thank them for their resistance for almost 250 years of oppression, genocide, dispossession, and absolute denial of their existence, denial of their rights, the destruction of their country, the destruction of their water, and they still call for peace and unity. Today is Invasion Day. The 26th of January, whatever month, whatever time, a war was declared on the first people of this land. That war has not ended. That war has been going on for almost 250 years. Yes, we still have guns pointed to our heads. We still have a boot on our necks. Our babies are still being stolen. Our babies are still being incarcerated and thrown in prisons. 10-year-old babies are being locked up in this country. Is that something to celebrate? Well, why are people having barbecues and beers and shrimps on their barbie and celebrating the death and destruction of this people's first people, the oldest continuing living culture in the world? We can't rely on the so-called leadership in this country. I see that racism when I'm in that place. It's real. It's like America. There is a far right rot in this country's parliament. They are stoking the fire of the far right racism in this country. That is the other pandemic, the slimy, secret pandemic of racism in this country that we need to eradicate because it's killing us. I still have my granddaughters and my daughter fighting for their rights. When is this going to end? It's almost been 250 years. We're sick of protesting. We are sick. We need this day as our day of mourning because that's what's going to bring this country together. Is truth. Real leadership in this country will bring this country together. And not one government yet has been able to do that. So it's up to us, the people. We need a treaty in this country. We need the end to the war in this country. And the only way we can do that is through a peace treaty. Not the one you see in Victoria, not the one you see in Queensland, not the one you see in the Northern Territory, because they talk treaty and still lock our people up. They still kill our people. They still desecrate our land and our water. A treaty means peace. A treaty means equality. And a treaty means justice. Thank you.
And there's no one that can tell the truth more than Lydia. So give her a round of applause again. I've been told once again, some people aren't wearing masks. So if it's, you can wear a mask, make sure you have it on. Groups of 100, follow the marshal's instructions, because we don't want to stop in the middle of this and have to regroup again because of people not following the COVID plans. So the next person doesn't need a huge introduction. I'm very fangirling right now, but I want to welcome to the stage, as you all will warmly, Uncle Gary Foley.
Whoa! Greetings. I'm a bit blown away by all you mob here. It was 51 years ago today. I'm sure you all remember. 51 years ago today, I went to one of my earliest rallies like this, calling for justice and truth. 51 years. Some of us have been doing this every year, calling for a greater awareness and understanding of Australian history. That's what this day really is all about. This is the day that Australia chose to celebrate. An unfortunate date to choose, as the reason we're all here. But a lot has been said in recent times, in the last year or two, especially with the rebirth, if you like, of the Black Lives Matter movement internationally. I'd like to remind you that 50 years ago, there were very similar conditions to what we see today, historically. 50 years ago, there was a major international movement against racism. The primary issue then had to do with apartheid in South Africa. But groups all around the world, such as us, took advantage of the fact that large numbers of non-Aboriginal Australians suddenly appeared in the streets in 1971, demonstrating against apartheid. Some of us challenged the anti-apartheid activists then and said, okay, you're demonstrating against racism, fine. But what about the racism here, in your own backyard? What about here, where you may have to face up to the reality that you are part of the problem, perhaps? 1971, the anti-apartheid movement took up the challenge that we threw out to them, and they started joining us in our big land rights marches in 1971. It was the size of those rallies that made the government in Canberra nervous and led directly into the legendary Aboriginal Embassy demonstration of that period. Now, one of the major issues in 1971 that we were able to illustrate to the world about the similarities of the situation here were the number of Aboriginal people incarcerated, the numbers of Aboriginal people who were dying in custody 50 years ago. Nothing's changed, folks. Nothing's changed. What has changed, I might say, standing here looking out at all you mob, is that large numbers of ordinary Australians are out here with us and supporting us in the same way as they did in 1971. That led to significant change in Australia. The Aboriginal Embassy changed the course of Australian history. And we are again in an epoch, in a moment of our history, where we have the same chance again. The Black Lives Matter movement is not going away here or overseas. In the same way overseas, the Black Lives Matter movement led to the challenging of colonial statues and recognition of colonial era sort of things. The same happens here. In 1970, Captain Cook's Cottage, which isn't Captain Cook's Cottage, down here in the gardens, got graffitied by Aboriginal people calling for justice. Here we are 50 years later, still calling for justice. We still don't have justice, but we've got a better opportunity now, at this moment in history, to really affect and bring about change. The huge march that we see here are the sort of things that are going to move people who infest this gasworks up here and the gasworks in Canberra. Politicians take notice when large numbers of people make their opinions known. So, just one other aspect of history for you that you may not know. The very first national campaign against police brutality to Aboriginal people in Australia occurred in 1934. That's a long time ago, folks. The same problems, the same issues are here today. The greatest indication of our status in Australian society are the incarceration rates of our people. More Aboriginal people are in, Aboriginal people are more jailed than any other people on earth. We must take the opportunity that the international global movement against racism and colonial things, we have to take advantage of this, these times. I'm not going to be here next year, maybe, or the year after, but it gives me hope seeing the numbers of people that turn out to these Invasion Day demonstrations in Melbourne. It gives old blokes like me a little bit of heart. And we know, it gives me the understanding that we will win, folks. We will succeed. What more can I say, folks? Maintain your rage, maintain the fight, and as I said a couple of years ago here, a word of advice from an old codger. Rule number one, all politicians, except Lydia Thorpe, all politicians are lying bastards, except Lydia Thorpe. I'm incredibly proud of my sister Lydia. I've known her since she was a baby. She gives me heart, and she is the exception to the rule that all politicians are bastards. Thank you.
Hello, it's me again, the COVID safety marshal. We're doing really well, but I just want to let people know that we're going to be funneling the crowd along Bourke Street. And if you can you stick to the tram tracks and not move away from the crowd so we can stay contained? I don't like this either, but there was no way in hell that we were not going to protest today. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. We've got one more speaker coming up, Arika Walu. I'll call you to the stage. Thank you.
This is your live Invasion Day broadcast, crossing over to Melbourne.
Nyatamwa Arikawalu. I don't know if you can sign that, but that's hello. My name is Arikawalu. It's just overwhelming to get up here and to see so many people standing here for the last 15 years of organising. It's just grown from just a couple of people on these steps to what looks like thousands and thousands of people. Thank you. Sorry, Arikawalu, Ma Kulan, Ma Dehukwurong, Ma Japurong, Peekwurong, and Kire Wurong, Ma Jitgan Garawangu, Burun Garawangu, Ma Alamin, Murta, Ma Kulan, Ma Murta, Ma Kerna, Ma Pupuk, Ma Kulan Pupuk. Hello, I'm Arikawalu, I'm a sovereign Dehukwurong, Japurong, Peekwurong, and Kire Wurrung language group holder. I am of the Emu Wren Dreaming and the Pelican Dreaming. I represent thousands of generations of sovereign mothering, and I gather here today for the rights of my child and all sovereign children. I'm not going to speak very long, but I do have a special message. So all my life I've stood on these steps for as long as I can remember, with the privilege of standing to listen to Uncle Gary, who just spoke before me, and stood with my community, and we've been calling out for land rights. That's my earliest memories of standing here with my people. And we ended up with native title somewhere along the line, and this gave us less. Is that the roulettes? This gave us less than squatters' rights, so don't be fooled by native title. We also, we're also tangled with the government, within government strings, as treaty conversations trick us, as my sister Lydia mentioned before, it's a trickery, and this sovereignty has not been implemented in the conversation, neither has truth-telling. And still, our health declines and we bury more of our youth than any other community in the world. I'm here as living proof and a result of the bloody wars. I'm here for the remedy of invasion. I'm here to get my land back. The reason we have had a bloody war is for land. And power. This would allow others to be a part of the growing movement so that we can all thrive together. So that our peoples can thrive on our long-awaited lands and waters they call us home. Just want to... Yeah, I just wanted to... I wanted to read out something, but I think there's been enough history lessons today. I think I wanted to thank the Woiwurrung, Jajawurrung, Tangwurrung, Bunwurrung, and Wathawurrung language holders for holding space and keeping the resistance strong. I wanted to thank the Jurijuris for cleansing the space for us to move forward, and Bill for giving that that history lesson that we all need. Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, land back.
Thank you. I think Arika touched on something then about our kids, and Lydia mentioned it as well. I don't know if you know, we've got the highest rates ever today. Over 20,000 Aboriginal children not living home with their parents. And it's not good enough, and we all need to do something about it. It's all our responsibility. And we've got someone else coming up next, but first of all, you all seem a bit mellow at the moment. So, always was? Oh, do you want the microphone? So you can start this time. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Can't hear you. Aboriginal land. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Can't hear you. We're going to have a speaker now. Thank you to everybody who's followed all the Marshal's instructions. If you were up here, you could see all the sea of people all the way down there. You're amazing. We got this. Always was Aboriginal land. Always was, always will be. Can't hear you. Always will be Aboriginal land. Okay, we're going to call Tish King to the stage, who's got a few words to say.
Wow, amazing. Amazing to see so many faces in the streets. Thank you. Kulai kit nailak esa poiban. No man koi aga. Nud mura zapu aimithin. Alak. Nal punka poiban. Kapu bailu mita munka mura buai. Ai mura ma bagal. Ina baradara nu. Nuzunal tish. Nai kakalag. Masugnu napa kakagal zenadekes nu eso. Translation. Firstly, I would like to give thanks to our Heavenly Father for his blessings upon us. Good morning, good afternoon to all the families and the peoples of this land, which I am among. My name is Tish, and I proudly stand here with my sister and doggo, Boo Boo. And I am a Kalkalug woman from the island of Musig, Kalkagol tribe of Zenadith Kes, the islands of the Torres Strait. I pay my respects to your elders and spirits past, present, and emerging. I acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded and that we live on stolen land. I would like to acknowledge people of color, people who are indigenous to their country, and to all the people who fight day in and day out to survive the continuing injustices from white supremacy. I am a community organizer at Seed Mob and proudly stand here today in the streets of Nam in solidarity with First Nations peoples across so-called Australia, continuing to fight for justice, for Indigenous rights, and the continuing fight for sovereignty to protect our people and our sacred lands. For thousands of years, First Nations people have lived in harmony with our lands, rivers, and oceans. That is, and today is a constant reminder that in 1788, our ability to care for country freely ended. Our self-determination was severed and our voices silenced. Each year on this day, I find myself mentally and emotionally taxed because we all really know what this day was back in 1788. It was an act of terror and war. Today is a day of mourning, just like our aunties and uncles have said today before us. It is a reminder of trauma that our brothers and sisters in custody, they still are dying, that our children are taken from their families and communities, and that our country, our songlines, and our sacred sites continue to be raped and destroyed by private corporations like Santos and Origin Energy, Rio Tinto, and the new name Bravo. Today is not just a reminder of our trauma, because every day black fellas continue to survive colonialism. It is our inherent responsibility to continue our old people's fight for survival, our fight to exist. But this is not a new phenomena for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, because when emergencies are happening in our communities, whether it's genocide, military interventions, or environmental disasters, First Nations people, the voices of people who are the most impacted, have always gone missing, unheard, dismissed, or ignored by the dominant cultures or decision makers. And if there isn't one, it serves only as a token of apology, or like posting a fucking black square on your social media. For them, our cultural knowledge and wisdom was not scientific enough to solve environmental solutions. For them, our communities are not sophisticated enough to organize. But enough is enough. As First Nations people, our strength, our resiliency, and our cultural responsibility to care for country and for one another drives us forward each day to keep fighting. Because if we don't, the Morrison government will continue to give millions of dollars to allow mining corporations like Rio Tinto to destroy our sacred sites, or Santos and Origin to frack our country. The climate crisis is an issue of social and environmental justice. Too often, those who have done the least to cause the problem are hit first and worst. The root causes of climate change are colonialism, capitalism, white supremacy, racism, and patriarchy. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island people are on the forefront of climate impacts and fossil fuels extraction. But we can also be at the forefront of change, leading the movement for climate justice. Now, I recently just returned back from Zenithkes, the Torres Straits, where after 22 years of being disconnected from my country, my island home, I returned to Musig. Being there, I felt so connected. Just touching the ground between my toes with the coral. The ocean felt like silk on my skin. Being among family and being able to hunt all together as one reminded me of why I fight, why I be here, stand in solidarity with my brothers and sisters. The people of the Torres Straits do not contribute to Australia's carbon footprint, yet are the most disproportionately affected from the causes and impacts of climate change. I saw the erosion, the impact of sea levels rising. I saw how global warming has exacerbated weather events like monsoons and king tides, washing away our totems, our ancestors. I picked up my ancestors' bones. The fish are leaving our coral reefs. My people can't hunt. My people are being disconnected. Our dugongs have left us. Our seagrass is dying. Our food security hangs in the balance. These feelings of both love and absence with the natural world are essential to understanding why we must protect it. They are essential not just for First Nations survival, but for our collective futures. So I end with this. We can't do it alone. Effective policy and systemic changes is required, and First Nations people must have a seat at the table. It must be place-based. It must be deliberative and culturally safe. Our involvement must be sincere. And in order to achieve real First Nations justice, we must be able to lead. This extends to respecting our sacred sites and enshrining more First Nations voices to Parliament, standing next to our deadly auntie, Lydia Thorpe. It means reconciliation, and it means treaty. It means abolish Australia Day. Thank you. Thank you so much.
This April is 30 years since the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody, but there have been over 441 black deaths in custody since then, and no one has been held criminally responsible. Racism is killing our people in custody, our elders, mothers, fathers, siblings and children. 15 of their families fighting for justice have come together today, and we call on everyone here to support them by signing their petition. Miss Dew, Aunty Cheryl Fisher-Tilbury, David Dungay Jr., Aunty Tanya Day, Wayne Feller Morrison, Joyce Clark, Chendini Wayne, and her father Warren Cooper, Chris Strange, Tris Jack Simpson, Garth Jackson Rowe, Raymond Noel Thompson, Stanley Inman, Tane Chatfield, and Nathan Reynolds. The families want the Prime Minister to meet with them for the 30-year anniversary. They say this change needs to be led by us. We are coming to Canberra and we want our voices heard. Join our call to be a part of the history. So at the rally today, you will see people holding this sign. Scan this QR code to get the petition. Get out your phone right now. Open your web browser and put in NATSILS, NATSILS.org.au/BLM. This is one thing you can do today to fight for the voices to be heard and to get systemic change. Black Lives Matter isn't over until there is justice for every single family. until there's an end to black deaths in custody. Thank you.
You're listening to 3CR's live Invasion Day broadcast here. We're waiting for speakers from the Melbourne rally.
I wanted to give everyone an update from Sydney.
Please stand by.
I think it's really important for us to show solidarity with our family across the country. And I've seen this come out. We've been threatened by the police, by police intimidation, saying they will smash us if we take to the streets. Instead of allowing them to incite a riot, we've advised everyone to disperse and stay safe. So I'm very sad to share that news, so we need to send a big cheer to everyone on Gadigal land. 1, 2, 3. I just want to introduce to the stage Professor, Uncle Gary Foley. He did do a speech at the start of the march, but I don't think, because of the COVID restrictions, I don't think everyone got to hear, so here he is again. Everyone give him a round of applause.
Hello. Nothing like a, nothing more deadly than a good PA, folks. Greetings to all you people way up there, way up then. Hope you can hear me. Yay! It's great to see yet another brilliant turnout in Melbourne, in support of our struggle for justice. Give yourselves a big cheer, folks. In 1988, on this day in Sydney, in response to the bicentennial, the great masturbation of the nation, the biggest gathering of Aboriginal people in the 80,000 or more year history of this country, gathered in Sydney in a big peaceful march to show Australia that we reject Australia Day as a commemoration and as a celebration. For those of you who weren't there on the 26th of January 1988, and I expect some of you weren't, you can see tomorrow night, if you're here, on the big screen over here in Fed Square, the film called Australia Days, D-A-Z-E, which is Pat Fisk's film about that day in Sydney. And you can see for yourself on the big screen here the remastered version of that film that shows just how huge the response was in Sydney in opposition to not only Australia Day that year, but to the great masturbation of the nation, which was the bicentennial celebrations in Sydney. So 6 o'clock tomorrow night, folks, on the big screen over here, if you're in town, come and see the film for nothing. And you can see a bit of your own history. Everybody in this crowd's own history. That, as I said, was the biggest assembly of Aboriginal people from all over Australia that's ever gathered in this land. So, go and teach yourself a bit of history, folks. It's important that everyone here on a day like this understand the context of the history of which you are part. What is happening here today will be history tomorrow. Your children will learn about this when they go to school, and they will be able to tell their classmates, I was there. I might have been little, I might have been only a little kid, but I was there. And they're going to be able to say that with pride. The only other thing I want to say, I mentioned at the beginning of the march, the context that brought about significant Australian history change in the early 1970s. As I said, there was a global movement going on then. The issue was racism. The issue was racism in South Africa. But people like us here in Australia were able to latch on to that issue and point out to Australians that we had the same problems here. So here we are 50 years down the track. It's exactly the same thing. But the planets are aligning. The International Black Lives Matter movement and the movement against colonial monuments. We have those issues here that we need to take advantage of the international focus to draw attention to the similarities here and advance our struggle in the same way that we did back in the early 1970s. We achieved. I've said before that the Aboriginal Embassy in 1972 changed the course of Australian history. With the current global climate, political climate, and the current issues continuing in Australia, especially in terms of incarceration of Aboriginal people in the jails of this country, incarceration of children, the continuing issue of deaths in custody, all of these issues that we need to draw attention to the Australian people. What we see, what I'm seeing here in front of me as I look up Swanston Street, and if you see the film tomorrow night, you'll see that I said pretty much the same thing in 1988. What I see looking out here are the possibilities of what we can achieve. We need to stay strong, united, continue the struggle, continue drawing attention to the issues that confront us in Australia until such day as we have justice. In closing, again, as I look up Swanston Street and look out on all you wonderful people out there, I gotta say yet again how proud I am of the warriors of the Aboriginal resistance, the organisers of this here rally today. Give them a big cheer, folks. And now that it's started raining, I'm going to get off the stage. Thank you, folks, and thank you for coming today.
Once again, thank you, Uncle Gary Foley. We have Celeste Little, who is coming up now, who has a few words to say, I think. Just a few.
I don't have many words to say. This is the second Invasion Day where I've tried to follow Gary Foley on the stage. I tell you what, that's intimidating. I wasn't at the Sydney 1988 rally, but I was at the Canberra one. And I remember a chant from that I'm going to revisit now, which was, land rights now, bicentennial bullshit. Tell you what, there's, what, 23 years since then and they're still talking bullshit. 33. Anyway, I'm an Arrernte woman from Central Australia. I wanted to acknowledge the lands on which we're on today, the Wurundjeri people, the Bunurong people, the broader Kulin nations for allowing me to live on these lands. This is, I have lost count of how many Invasion Day rallies that I've been to. And it's a bit of a tradition for me to actually try and guess the crowd. Last year, an hour before the rally, I put out to the media that there was 200,000 and some of them ran with it. So let's go with 500,000 here this year. I'm really, really proud to see the efforts that everyone has gone to socially distance, to ensure community is safe, that whilst we're here landing, marching for justice, marching for land rights, that we're also keeping each other safe and trying to ensure the health of the next generation. There's Invasion Day for me is a bit of a time always to reflect on community and those that are here with us today, but also those that are no longer with us. One of my heroes, when I was at uni, I met this woman called Lisa Belair. And I could tell from the crowd that she has inspired a lot of other people. And she died far too young. Far, far too young. But if she were here, she'd be running around taking photos of yous all. She'd be in the crowd, she'd be getting photos, and then she'd give them back to you. And so, you know, this woman who was one of the most amazing community activists that I have ever met, save for the organisers at this rally, is still inspiring so many people today. And so rather than actually talk much, because you've all heard my talks for years, you've seen my articles, you've had to read a lot of stuff, I wanted to read out a short poem by Lisa Belair. It was written in the year 2000. I'm probably going to get the canter wrong of it and everything, but I'll give it a go. It's called Conversations, aka Unfinished Business. Conversations through the phone raises issues that still impact on Indigenous Australians. There is also a message of hope, imagination, creativity, art, dance, music, and inventive conversations, positive expressions of Indigenous survival. Mr. Prime Minister, the Mayor, young folk, warriors without treaties, the wider community. The message is always, even though we smile, land rights, sovereignty, no more crap, ignorance and unabated racism. Thank you. And one more before we go. It is time this nation tells the truth. Not a lie anymore. The secret is out. We are on stolen land. We need a treaty in this country to resolve the war that was declared on our people almost 250 years ago. If you want to be part of a treaty, then you need to show up, you need to sign up, and you need to help unite this nation and get rid of the racists like we just saw earlier. Rid the racism. It's time for treaty. No more bullshit symbolic gestures, no more change of date, no more Uluru statement, no more constitutional recognition, no more survival day. This is Invasion Day, this is our day of mourning, and we need a treaty!
won't be the last time you hear from me, because when I'm in Canberra next week, they will hear exactly the same thing that